We're awesome. Okay. Oh, look, there's all my money from Kenya. Yay. Oh, look at you, gorgeous. People give me messages when I'm preaching in the church statement. And I tend to put them in my Bible, and then when I'm doing something, I pull it out and I'm like, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. But they write on some really amazing things like money and toilet paper and the last food bill. So, but I keep it all. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here. It's such a pleasure to be here. It's nice to finally meet Scotty up there, our token man in the room, our protector. Hallelujah. I had a word. Don't you? Who knows that when you come and the Lord goes, yeah, let's do this. You get given something to speak about. You spend your time, you work on it, you do your stuff. But really, it's all in your own steam. And then God goes, like the day before, no, can we change that? And then you go into panic mode. So that's what happened to me yesterday. And so this is us. And the Lord is, he told me, you know that the Holy Spirit comes to refresh us. You know that your identity is found in him. These are the basics that I started to write. And he went, they know it. Move on. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to write about, Lord? But what he wants you to know about is favor. Because before I can bring the next message, until you understand what favor is and what it looks like on your life, then you can receive the best of the best that he's prepared for you. So I'm just going to throw this on the back of my trousers because I'm going to start moving and it's going to... Yeah, okay, these people have seen me preach before, huh? No, I'm all right. Thank you.
Give you a little bit of space.
Yeah, because I promise I most probably won't get on the ground today, but I can't really promise that for real. I just want to say I love coming to churches and meeting new people, but what I do love the most is to see my family. And I am part of this church of Whakatane called Shake All Nations. Hallelujah. And I just want to say a big welcome to my girls in the house. Amen. These guys have most probably brought out my gift more out of love than any kind of affirmation can ever bring a gift out, right? They love me for who I am and not for what I can bring. And out of that is birthed this crazy preacher lady. But that's okay. You know, so last time I preached over there, oh no, a few times beforehand, I went home and I just went, Lord, could I just not be the could I just be the preacher lady that just stands behind the thing, talks? Just once. So last time I was there, I said, some girls, I'm going to stand behind the thing. Well, I'm not going to move. It didn't work, did it? It was like putting on someone else's clothing and I couldn't do it. You see, because that's what this is all about. Because when we go into the Lord's garden, there is a refreshing and a renewing that he brings to us. But that's because we know who we are and who we are in Christ. And what happens in that scenario is that spirit of comparing ourselves to other people disappear. And that is the thing that steals the move of the Holy Spirit over the top of us, that when we're in trouble, when we're in some kind of adversity, we will shrink. And that is not what we're called to. We are not called to shrink. I don't even know where we're going here, but it's cool. Okay, I can, oh, hallelujah. So, I'll just give you a little bit of me. When I was asked to do this, I was just, oh, yes. I would love to come to your church. Tracy and Danny are one of my best friends. Well, they are my best friends. They're like my brother and sister. And I had heard about your church. Yeah. And when you asked me, I was just so excited to come. And then usually what happens is you get, you know, some emails and you talk and then you do this and you do that. Well, in the midst of that, I got diagnosed with cancer. Like the week after. And I don't even know if you're going to get this story, but this is where I'm at right now. And then there was silence because Jeff went overseas. I'm like, why is she gone? Okay, she'll be back. It'll be no problems. And then we missed catching up when we were supposed to catch up. You see, all of these things become disappointments. And all of these things tell you that what you're actually supposed to be doing, you shouldn't be doing. But that's not God. So then we were supposed to catch up at Sisters, and I'm right in the middle of this cancer walk that I'm doing. And there is this thing that's niggling me saying, they don't want you anymore. They don't want you anymore. You see, and I just, you know, we've got to learn to be able to water our own garden. We've got to be able to push back that stuff and say, back it off. That is not mine. Lord in the Spirit called me up and sent me to that place. I'm going where I'm going, not where you want me to exist. So, you know, I just kept walking. Get a text from Jabor. Hey. So we should talk about this, but I'd just gone into that hard place in cancer, right? So I'm like, yep, yep, and I'm trying to manage letting you know I'm with you, but I'm walking a walk, right? And she said to me, this is what this is, and I said to her, I think the Lord's giving me a word. I'm just walking it out right now, so I'll write it later. And she was so graceful, and I love that about you, and I thank you for that time in my life, because she was so graceful to me, because she knows who she is in Christ. She knows where God's called her to be, and she knows what God's doing today. You see, this is the birthing of something, something that's going to do something so good to the women in this place. Amen. She knows it. It's in her spirit. She stands upon it. This is where we are. This is the watering of the garden. Amen. Okay. So I just want to honour you. That's what that story was about. I want to honour you for that. And I'm grateful to be here. So what I want to talk about is favour. If we can grab what favour is, it looks like, and what it looks like on our lives, we can step into it a lot quicker. The enemy can't steal for us, because the moment that we get favour on our lives, the enemy goes, "Hop!" And I'm in. I'm in, man, because that is not what I want on you. I do not want you to be in favour. I do not want you to be in that place. That is being watered. I want you dry. I want you dead. That's what the enemy says, and the Lord says, I am going to give you life, and life abundantly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And so, come with me to Psalm 102. And I'm going to read it. Just going to put this somewhere else. Thanks, my darling. Okay, a few little things that McGill's over there know is that I have this thing that where I believe that, and this is just my own belief, I don't share it with you, but I like to share it every time, that having the Bible on your phone doesn't work. Okay, because when you go to a when you're in a bit of adversity, oh, I'm sorry, my darling, I'm just saying that, yeah, you remember this from last time. Okay, well, I'm bringing it again. I didn't even see you do that, I'm so sorry, but this is my own belief, no one else's. When I'm in trouble, and I know that I'm in trouble, and the only thing that's going to get me out of trouble is the word. I can envision on a page where the word is. So I just sit there and start going through. Because I'm not good at doing, oh yeah, Psalm 102 verse 7 goes, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that girl. Okay, I'm the walking out of the Bible girl, right? I have to do a few Joseph walks before I go, oh my goodness, I'm doing a Joseph walk. Okay, it has to slap me in the face. I've got to experience it. That's how I learn. Other people can just, oh, they're amazing. I just look at them and go, oh. And then I go, don't compare yourself, just stop it. But when I'm in trouble, I can go and I can look and I will find it quickly. I've tried This is why I say it's my story. I've tried it on the thing, like, searching a word, and there's like, and I'm needing it now. So I'm reading all these verses that aren't really the one that I need. So if I can encourage you on one thing today, it's to get that word and start learning, feel its pages. Get intimate with it. Because it is actually, for me, my lifesaver. Story for later, be quiet. Okay. So, we're at 102 and we're going to verse 13. And we'll read down to 17. So it says, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her." I'm reading from the NIV. "For her stones are dear to your servants, her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory, and he will respond to the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their plea." Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. And we thank you that with the word comes the spirit. And when those two come together, Father, there is life. Father, there is a drawing from a well that is only being fed by you, Father God. And I pray right now for each woman that's in this room that it will be used in such a significant way, that there will be verses, there will be you and your spirit will meet them in their very situation, and change will take place. Lord, that there will be a falling away of the old and a refreshing of the new. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise your mighty word. Amen. Okay, so here we go. I believe that this message is prophetic. And I believe it's prophetic because I only got to write it last night. I'm like, and that's when the Lord moves me to do this. So, this message was not for last week. It wasn't for last year. It is for now. It is for today. God has something to say to us. Amen? Okay. So, 102:13, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion." You see, Zion is the church. In the Old Testament, it was the hill the Jebusites inhabited. They were a Philistine or Canaanite tribe who felt their position was impregnable. However, David and his men conquered Jebus, Mount Jebus, where he renamed it Zion, where he built the palace and he built the temple, and it became known as the city of David. And in the New Testament, Zion is the church, so it can be interchangeable. Amen? Okay, so "You will arise and have mercy on the church, for the time to favor her, the said time has come." Okay, so here in the middle of this trial, psalmist is crying out right now, the time has come. Somehow he knew that the time is right now. And there is definitely times in God when things happen. It says, "In the fullness of time, Jesus was born." Galatians 6:9, "Keep sowing and don't give up, because in due time, your season of reaping will come." There is a time in your life that there are suddenly breakthroughs. So it says in Psalm 102:14, the reason. "For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor in her dust." Who's her? Obviously, that's really funny because, you know, when the Bible's doing stuff and it's talking, I'm like, who's this chick? I'm always into her. I like to know about women in the Bible. I love that. So as soon as I see her, I'm like, oh, who's her? You see, her is the church. It is the bridegroom. When I was going flying to Africa my first time, I booked the tickets, you know, like, I'm a little bit of a highly organized kind of chick. So, and I went with three boys. Sorry, Scotty. But you know, they just, Don't be so organised. They've got great gifties, but they're sword wieldings, you know, horse riders. Organising is most probably. If they are an organiser, that's a gift from God, amen. So they said to me, oh, Liz, can you check us in? I'm like, yep, sure. So efficient. Got us four seats together. We get on the plane. I go to sit down. I'm at the back of the plane. The boys are at the front, three of them all together. And I'm at the back of the plane all by myself. Yeah, that's how I felt, actually. Ah. However, by the time the plane had delivered me, I thought, So I'm down there and I thought, what am I going to do? Got no one to talk to, nothing. I'll just get my word out and I'll start writing some stuff. And at the time, I wrote a lot of songs, a lot of songs. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I just want you to give me some poetry. And I started reading the word, fell asleep. And I went underneath the anointing. For 10 hours, I was under the anointing. It was so beautiful, man. Of being romantically connected to the Lord. And when I woke up, I was so romantically connected to the Lord. Hey, I was reading James. And the bit that I wrote was verse 1, 5 to 8. And the bit that I read was, if you want wisdom, ask for it. That's always been my prayer. I just want wisdom. I don't want to be rich. Rich is cool, God. But let's be honest. But that's not what my heart chases after. My heart used to chase after that wise counsel of, you know, Solomon. I wanted to be able to not react to situations, but, you know, when he brought in the baby and he made that decision, there was just no emotion in it at all. He didn't get involved in someone singing, try and sort you out and let's be friends. He wasn't that kind of dude. He was the dude that was like, right then, cut the baby in half. And the mother says no. And he went, just give that child to the mother because she's a real mother. Because he knew that was the answer. I want that kind of wisdom, you know. That's the way I used to be. So I'm like, wisdom, I'm in. And then it said, don't be double-minded because you will be tossed and turned in the wind. And then my spirit went, I just want you to say yes and amen. And because I was like, do you remember when you first fell in love? You were like, whatever you say. So that's what I did. And I went, okay. Before that moment, I used to go to church meetings and I would sit in prayer. I went to every church meeting. I loved God. Like, but I'd go to prayer, sit down and go, I'm here, but I'm not praying out loud. Okay, all right, good. Because the enemy had told me that if I prayed, everyone would know that I didn't know God and that I would be a liar and that they would be able to see right through me. So I would go because I was so in love with him, but I was too scared to open my mouth. So he says to me, I just want you to say yes and amen. I'm like, okay, God, whatever you want, man. I wrote two beautiful songs that came out of it. Land. We had our first crusade and the generator. I'll just explain this like this, okay? The generator gets a demon because that thing would not start. And we had a mechanic and we had a sound guy and we had the evangelist and they were all in there fixing it. And this pastor comes. The other thing is, I've been a PA at church for a long time. And my pastor used to say, let's get up and preach. I'm like, I'm your PA. I'm not your PA. Right? Because, again, I was too scared to speak. Yes. He was very graceful there. Oh, I just love the men that the Lord's brought in my life, right? They're just so awesome. Anyway. So here they are, all covered in like grease and all this stuff. And this pastor comes, this African pastor comes to get the evangelist to preach. And he's covered in grease. And he just looks at me and says, someone needs to go. And I'm like, send the mechanic. And he went, we need the mechanic. I'm like, oh, well, send the sound guy. And he went, have you even heard him say hello? He doesn't speak. I'm like, well, who can go? And I turn around and he goes, you can go. And I'm like, oh, no, I organise, I don't preach. And then the Lord went, yes and amen. And I went, so, I'm real. So I get in the car with the filthiest attitude on. The poor pastor thought he must have picked up a demon. Because I get in there, I'm like, slam the door, like this, and we're driving. And I am freaking out. I'm going to have to speak, and I don't even have anything to speak about. I don't even have a Bible. God, you're going to have to help me out here. I'm just not sure what's going to go on. And I'm just freaking out. And I'm like, okay, I got. And I'm over my brain, I'm just going, I'm doing yes and amen. You need to do everything else because I don't know what to do. And I'm just freaking out. And this poor pastor wouldn't even speak to me. And I'm like, I didn't even care about him, to be honest. I didn't care. And then I remember getting out of the car and feeling like my belly was dropping down by my knees. And I'm like, Lord, I just can't do it. And I walked in the side door, and I don't know what happened, but I remember them giving me the microphone, and I took it, and I took a step onto the stage, and the next minute, I just appeared to the back of the room, over here. Like, that's what it was like. It was like, phew! And I was standing here, and then I watched this crazy Mary woman go, wee, 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 and I stood under the joy of the Lord, going, wow, this is awesome. Who's that chick? Didn't even recognize who she was. And then I finished and I did a call and all these people came up. And I'm like, oh, bless them. And people are weeping and I'm like, wow. And then I just got off and went, oh, thank you. And this, I remember saying this. Thank you, Lord, that I got to be part of that. Thank you, God, I'm never going to do it again. So Reinhard Bonnke had his people in that meeting. And he rings Reinhard and goes, Reinhard, you've got to see Carl's new girl, man. We've got to book her. So I get back to site and I get out of the car. And I've been sitting out in the joy of the Lord, so I'm feeling pretty happy about everything that's going on. Carl goes, preach right down there. And I went, I don't know what happened. But something happened, and I can go with it. And he said, I've had a phone call from Reinhardt. He wants to book you. I'm like, who's Reinhardt? So funny. Out of that time, I was birthed the preacher. And out of that time, I have been in Yongi Cho's church. Yep. I've seen some spectacular stuff happen. I've seen spina bifida holes close right in front of my face. And for those little darlings that don't know what a spina bifida is, it's a hole in your spine. And what happens is the outworking of that is that child's like a baby. It's like a little raggedy doll. And I've seen a spina bifida hole just... Yeah. Amen. But I believe that God puts us in these situations because he wants us to build our faith, right? Because whatever he's calling us to, that faith level is going to need to be just, it's always not just at where you're at. It's always just a little bit more, right? Okay. So part of being watered in the garden is for us to be open enough to let him do it. Okay. So let's go back to favor. Who's here? Amen. Okay, we're learning. Your servants take pleasure in your stones. They love people. They love the people of the house of God, and they love the church. And they have favor. This is the reason why, right? You with me? So he's saying in the first verse, go back to the first verse with me, verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her has come. And then verse 14 says, because your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor. You see, the servants are showing favor to the house of God, therefore the set time of favor to favor her has come. Favor is what you prioritize. It's what you distinguish is going to receive higher attention and higher value than anything else. It's very important, this bit. Higher attention, higher value. You see, when God does something with you and you get favor on your life, the rock is that you are getting higher attention from him. The rock is the higher attention, higher value than anything else for him, for you right now. You see, and God says, I'm going to favor you. I'm going to distinguish you as somebody who is going to get more attention and blessing on their life than others. That's what favor is. And when he says in Ephesians 1:6, accepted in the beloved, the word there means highly favored, extremely favored by God because you have come into Christ. Amen. Oh, I wish I hadn't worn a jacket. Okay, let me show you the result of this favor coming on our lives. Verse 15. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord. They will come to Christ. People will start to worship God instead of not fearing God. See, I've got this girlfriend. She came to my house. She's like, Liz, God let my son gas himself on the side of the road. I'm like, no, baby, you got that wrong. God is good. That's it. It's really easy. There are no deviations. God is good. We have choice. He's a gentleman. Gentlemen do not push themselves onto other people. But he is good. And I said, baby girl, her son, 39% carbon monoxide poisoning, you are brain dead. Her son was 49%, and they flew him to Auckland, put him in the, I hope I get these words right, hyperbaric, yeah, you tell me, nurse, good. Hyperbaric chambers, and he is 100% fine today. So, you know, I just said to her, no, baby girl, you got that wrong. God saved his son on the side of the road. Right? The enemy came to take him out with all the darkness and everything else. And God went, not him. Not him and not today. Amen. By the time she'd been in my house for a week, she was getting it. Right? Because all of us do. The moment something bad happens, we go to, why did God do that? God doesn't do that. God does not do that. He is good. It's just 100%. It's actually just full stop. Exclamation mark. Let's stop there. God is good. If I'm not sure about what God's telling me, I just go, is it good? To tell the truth at the wrong time is the same outcome is lying. You will hurt someone. Once you learn that, it's very easy to work out what's good because we can convert anything in our brains we can convert to being good. But when you ask yourself, is this good? And if I told the truth right now, would it hurt somebody? That's not a good outcome. See, the enemy's games, they're not new. They're the same, right? That's right. He's just getting a few little layers and he's getting a little gentler. Steals us in our money, steals us in our family time, steals us in these things. Most families, both parents are working now. And I don't judge that. I'm a two-parent working family myself. However, that busyness is what's stolen. Because this game's not, if we stopped working, well, actually, the message to me last week was, if you stop working, then something bad's going to happen, and then you'll miss out. That's his message. Grass is greener on the other side, and you're going to miss out on something. That's just his message. That's it. Marriages are broken because they're having an affair with someone else, because the enemy gets in there and goes, she's better than the one you got. You're missing out on something. Right. So, let's come back. So nations will fear the name of the Lord. They will come to Christ. People will start to worship God instead of not fearing God. We've got to get that understanding of God so right. Blaspheming, rejecting, and dismissing God. Oh, Lord, I hate it when I hear people. I work in the construction industry, and the first thing they do is they get out and they whip the JC out. And I'm like, because to me, that's offensive. So I just whip out a few hallelujahs, amens, and they get the message. Don't be saying that on my side. I've now got a lot of people who work with me who won't. And when they swear, they turn around straight away and apologise to my girls. Right? Because we are Christians in business. We're not a Christian business. I'm there to make money. I'm telling you. I like it. But I am a Christian in business, and how I operate my business, I should not be scared to let people know who I am. You see, if I let people know who I am, I'm watering his garden. Because when I make a decision that's extremely different from all the other people that are in my industry, I'm standing out. And I've got to work out, what am I going to stand out for? Blaspheming, rejecting, and dismissing God. They will start to say, we respect God. We are going to draw near to him and all the leaders, all the kings of the earth, your glory, because in verse 16, the Lord will build up Zion and he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah. You see, this is a time we are living in that the church will be built like it never has before. There is approximately 1 billion spirit-filled people in the world today. And it is astonishing. And it is growing at an increasing rate all around the world, despite of all kinds of setbacks, things that happen all along the way. You will hear all the time that Christianity in the world is backsliding. I'm sorry, but actually do the stats. It's not. It just keeps on growing. At the turn of last century, there was an event called the Welsh Revival. And then Sousa Street. We all know it. There may have been 10,000 people like this in the world, and that's been kind or even generous. To go from 10,000 to 1 billion in 100 years is unheard of. That's an unheard of kind of increase. We are living in a time, the last days, when the church will arise to become the chief of all mountains. All organizations around the world. You see, you are in the most powerful place that you could possibly be in all the world. Right here in the house of God, you are going to find yourself under favor and under blessing because the set time has come. But also, on a more focused level, right here now in this church, I believe it is a set time of favor that is going to come upon your life. So let's talk about favor. What does it mean? It means that no matter what happens to you, like a cork under the water, you know, you run the sink, throw the cork underneath the water. What does the cork do? It pops up to the top again, eh? Once again, it is on you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. You're going to always make it through any kind of fire and any kind of trial that comes your way. Have a look at Genesis 20, verse 39. Again, everyone will know Joseph's my favourite book because I've walked it so many times. The Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. That's kind of a great little equation just there, right? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. Again, I work in the construction industry. And I am a girl in the construction industry. And when I first started, the Lord gave me my business. I didn't even know what I was doing. The Lord gave me my business. And I used to sit with these powerful men who would dismiss me. I don't really care as long as I get the job. I don't really care what you say. So I chose to offer them grace, right? So I wouldn't take exception to it. I would just every time be very professional with them, show them kindness. When I saw them out on site, I always went up and shook their hand and said, hey, it's nice to see you, da 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 da. And what happened in the first year of our business, these guys started calling me. Hey, can I come to your office? I'm like, oh, yeah, come in. So they'd come to my office and they would sit down and ask my advice on things. You see, God was promoting me because he was making me important and integral to their decision making because I chose to honor them. Right? When we're in favor, we don't need to kick the feet out of other people. When we're in favor and understand that favor sits upon us, there's nothing you or I can do to make that better or worse. It's got nothing to do with you, in actual fact. It's got to do with the Lord. You see, the Lord has chosen to give you favor, every one of you, in a certain area of your life. Whether you choose to look and take it up, because in that area of your life, you will water the garden that he has for you. You see, so we've got to look and start looking at ourselves and saying, what is it that the Lord's given us favor for? Because it's in that place, which I've just found in the last few weeks, is where you find rest. So Joseph found favor on his side and he served him, this Egyptian master. Then he made him overseer of his house and all he had put under the Joseph's authority. Okay, so here's the thing. When a person has favor over their life, what they touch gets blessed. So if you're even half as smart an employer, you're not looking for degrees. You're not looking at their connections. You're looking at what happens when that person puts their hands on something. You see, Potiphar looked around at all of his household and he saw one man that whatever he touched seemed to work. Because he had favor on him from heaven. He had favor of God on him. So because he had that favor on him, his employer favored him. Because God's favor was on him, Potiphar saw blessing on him and said, man, I'm going to put this guy over everything in my house. Because he understood that whatever you have authority over, that was the chain of blessing that follows. So whatever Joseph had authority over, whatever he oversaw, started to get blessed. He expanded his realm of rulership simply because of the favor over his life. Okay, now, where do you get that kind of favor from? I don't normally preach like this, but because I wrote it yesterday, I had all these questions I was going through, and I thought, I'm just going to ask them because people must probably be asking them too. So, and this is how I learn from God, because when he does something, I go, why is it a she? God, why is it a she? Where does that favor come from, God? And then I go searching, right? Because he says, when you seek me and seek me with all your heart, that's where you'll find me. Well, where did that kind of favor come from? Well, it's typified way back in Genesis 37, verse 3, when it says, Israel, that's his father, loved Joseph, and he made him a tunic of many colors. That's right. He's got favor on his life. Okay. Joseph is so pure-hearted. He's unjaded. He can't be pushed and pulled because of that song you sung today, which is, I don't want to be moved by what happens and how I'm feeling. I want to be in the knowledge of God over my life, steadfast and true, and will not be affected by anything else. Again, water to the garden. You see, Joseph, pure heart, unjaded, he gets the coat and he puts it on. Yeah. Do you get it? Like, yeah. Okay, let's go shopping. Okay, so we go into the shop. Oh my gosh, there's this cool ass leather jacket over there. Okay, and you're going, oh, I like that, I like that, I like that, oh, I like that. I don't know if you do that, I do that. Okay. Of course you do. Amen. Let's be honest. And if no one has, then you just haven't got the right clothes yet. Okay, so you see the leather, you start liking the leather jacket, right? Because we know that that's going to enhance us. Joseph didn't care about the coat. It was a beautiful coat, but he already knew that he was enhanced by God. So that coat didn't even bother him. So he just takes the coat, says, thanks, Dad, puts it on and walks off. And his brother's going, hold up a minute. Do you get it?
Yes.
Amen. Pure heart and unjaded. To be pure of heart and unjaded in all circumstances. Your marriage is crumbling and you stay pure of heart and unjaded. Your children are being bullied at school and you stay pure of heart and unjaded. People are looking at you and going, there is something seriously different about that chick. And I don't know what it is. And it unnerves me because it will unnerve them straight away. Because when you are doing what the Lord says, the enemy inside, well, that surrounds him because that's his thing. He's got guards, man. Yeah. Right? He's trying to have a fight. And the enemy wants to get that away. But the truth is seeing it. The truth is saying, hold on a minute. What is that? And I kind of like it, but I kind of don't. But I want to sort of hang out with that chick. You know what I'm saying? And we are a poppy in the Lord's garden. Have poppies. And as we start to share the perfume of being unjaded, of being pure of heart, the perfume starts to change the people around us. Has anybody ever sat by someone who smelled so super nice that you just sort of sit there going? Well, let's turn around. Has anybody sat beside someone who didn't smell nice? Right? One repels and one reflects. Our job in this world is to attract the ones that are lost to come. So our perfume is our water to the poppy that is sitting in the Lord's garden. Amen. Unjaded. Unjaded. Oh man, I wish I was unjaded. This is making me feel like I want to be unjaded, pure heart. Okay, you see, this coat, it didn't earn him any favours with his brothers. You see, when we put the leather jacket on, we knew our sisters are going to go, yeah, nice jacket. But Joseph was not in that realm. His brothers had had enough of him already. He was the favourite son. Joseph didn't even know it. The brothers knew it. And he, because of the pure of heart, he doesn't look at what he's going to get. What happens when you get favor in your life? You're going to get some enemies. You're going to get some enemies on you. Have a look at Acts 7 verse 9. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave to Egypt. But God was with him. The patriarchs were the fathers of what God was doing on earth. They became envious and the children of Israel sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and he delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who made Joseph governor over Egypt and all of his house. Seriously, what jail opens their doors and says, hey bro, just take a walk. Get your walk on. Do what you want to. We trust you. You're awesome. Oh, no, 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 no. They don't do that. Right? This man supposedly raped somebody. And they do. They see the unjaded, pure of heart. And knows that Joseph just will not walk out of jail. Joseph's going to stay there until he's pardoned. But Joseph will keep all the other people happy because of his pure of heart and his unjadedness. It becomes contagious. See, this day and age, where the enemy thinks he's got everything under control, if we had someone in there that had raped someone, they would be brutally, brutally abused, whether they've done it or not. Because we're in a day and age where people are not looking. They're not. They are closed down to what's giving out. I've got this friend, and I was just sharing with Dee the other day, yesterday. My whole heart's desire is that my life will reflect God, will bring every person I come into contact with. I want them to just take 15 minutes and go, she's inspired me to just go and check it out. That's all I want, because that's all I can do. The rest is up to God. God can do everything, you know. It's his thing. But my life should inspire. And I've got this really good friend, and I'm heartbroken. And it wasn't until yesterday when I was speaking with Dee, I'm heartbroken about the fact that he will not look. And he has got an amazing mantle of leadership over him. And God gave me a vision, and this is why I'm like, I know that if he makes the wrong choice, he'll lose the mantle. And he would be amazing in the, you know, in the kingdom. So much possibility. But he won't even take 15 minutes. And I took it on myself for a while to go, there's something about my life that I need to change. Or am I different with him? And I assessed all these things. Are you different with him that he doesn't get inspired? Because usually it's quite easy, Liz. You just do your thing and people go, wow. What are you, tell me about you. And then I go, oh, man, I'm into Jesus. This is awesome. You should get on that. And then I give them a lot, you know, a word. And usually when I pray, they, God gives me a word for them. I'm like, yes, awesome. See you later. Go and do your thing with God. And I leave it. But he won't look. And it wasn't until I spoke yesterday to Dee that I realized the enemy has people so locked down. So locked down. And the one thing that I can do is not get upset about it, but pray for more rain. Yes. So that my perfume is stronger. Yes. That I can continue to witness. Because if I continue to sow the ground, that day will come. Because the Lord has promised it, right? There is a season for sowing. There is a season for reaping. And there is a season for harvesting. And I may not see it, but I get to be part of it. Amen? Right. So, back to this. Let's look at this in another night. When Scott and I were starting our first Connect group in Auckland and Moraitai, okay, so Moraitai's like about 25 minutes from Botany, maybe? Who's from Auckland here? Yeah, 25 minutes from Howick? It's out in the country on the coast. Miles away. Miles away. For young 20s. Is it 20s? It's like 10, 20 things. About an hour away from the kids we were targeting. They lived out at West Harbour, which is like, well, I drive there every day. It takes me about an hour and 15 minutes. And then we're another 30. So it's a whole lot further than an hour. But that's a big drive, okay? Let's just say that's a big drive. And God made sure it was full of people who were mature Christians so that when Scott and I could have a training ground so that we learnt how to look after a church. Amen? We didn't know that. We just had a retreat out there. The pastor walks and goes, wow, this is an awesome place for a Connect group. I hated Connect groups. Sorry. I didn't want to do Connect groups. And that's why I always love new Christians, man. I love the afi love. They're real quick, see the lights go on. It's so, it's, you know, that's affirming. But connect groups are hard work. Serious. And anyone who runs a connect group, holla, you have my complete and utter respect. So, pastor comes out, goes, wow, this is a cool place to have a connect group. Turns around, looks me in the eye and says, start a connect group. Oh, Lord, okay, fine. So, within a week, we had this connect group. And I put it out, went, oh. I put it out with only a few people that I wanted to come. They came to my house anyway, so it was like, yeah, we're having a connect group. Come. My first night was 19 people. The next week was 30-something, and the week after that was 60. And I just went, no, there's no room in my house for this kind of stuff going on. We're not doing it. Because I teach people how to move in the spirit. And so, you know, the 20s, they're like, yeah, we're calm. You'll show us how to do that. And we'll have the supernatural wizardry kind of. That's the way they think. But they didn't like it much when I went, you ain't allowed to use that unless it's confirmed in that. And they went, ah! I'm like, yeah, you need to know your word. Ah! Get in Babel in a year right now. So, but God was good. You see, I had favor on me. You see, I have had favor on me since the day I was born. The day I was born again, God just went, I don't know. He just went, here you go, sister. That's a nice little adornment. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, thank you. Because things would just happen for me, and I kept seeing it happen for me. I'll give you an example. I was the GM of council in a role that I had no idea how to do, but someone thought that I'd be good at it, so I would give it to her. I am pastorally minded, right? So I can't leave people when I know they need to be helped. I just can't do it. But so they gave me GM. Oh, well, I was HR, and then I became GM of HR. And they go, Liz, we need this training program. And what we want is, and they were telling me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm sitting there with a smile on my face. And he goes, can you do it? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. No problems. How long? And he said, oh, it'll take about, I reckon about 6 weeks, but just give us blow-by-blow accounts every week. I'm like, okay, that's cool, no problems. Walked down, went, oh, my gosh. Lord, we need to get all over this. So I left it, and I walked away, and we were driving to up north for something, and all of a sudden my spirit wanted to get into prayer about it. So I said to Scotty, come on, let's just pray about this thing I have to do. It's a leadership program, that's what it was. I had no idea about that. What is that? Oh, I don't even know how to write stuff. So, and that's why I don't go. I just don't. Don't try and manifest something that you can't manifest. Okay? Just wait. So I said to Scotty, let's pray. And he's like, what about? I'm like, work. He says, I don't want to pray about your work. My dude, he is very gentle and practical minded, is the best way to say it. So when I start talking about work, he goes blank. So, but that's okay, because if we put us both together, we're sort of like a whole, and it's awesome. Anyway, so what happened? I'm like, come on, please, I just really need some prayer, and you need to stand the gap with me. So we were praying, blah, 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 blah. And then we just sort of dropped out and stopped and carried on driving. And I saw the leadership program from the end to the beginning. So I saw it backwards. So I just grabbed out my stuff and started writing down what I'd seen. I preach a word, Habakkuk 2 verse 2, write it on a tablet so a herald can run with it. Huh? So I just write it down. So I get home and I give it to my staff and say, this is the program here. Type it up, get it in some kind of pretty thing. No, I'm not good at that. Just get it into something pretty, and then let's do a PowerPoint presentation. Let's do it. So, now I had a lot of faith in that word, not because it came from God, but just because it was, it was something more than I could do. So I'm like, okay, this is a good one. I'll either like it or hate it, whatever. And I walked in. I won an award for that leadership program. That's not because of what I did. It's because of the favor that God gives you to be in those places, to do what he needs you to do. I led a Muslim priest at my photocopier in my office to the Lord. Yes. I had started in our boardroom prayer. Every month, just before our board started and would sit, we would go in there and we would pray up a storm. I went and asked my CEO, I said to him, hey, it's not going to hurt you. It may help you. You might like it. You might get some stuff through, you know, like, what's it going to do? I said, just let us have the room for an hour. And if something really bad goes down, I'll stop. But I promise you it won't. And he gave us all an hour off that we could go in and pray every month. In that room, right? Stuff was happening. This is council. Council makes some rubbish decisions sometimes. They make some good ones, but they can make some bad ones. And all of a sudden, the council that was looked really badly upon turned in the marketplace. I worked for a place called Metro Water. Yeah, yeah. I see your face. So in a year and a half, our workplace turned into the most... We won an award for best place to work. We won an award for our wellness program. These are all programs I had written, not me. Yep, I could do it. Oh, God, help us out here. Because he had favor, because he had an agenda inside the house. Amen? Okay. Because things would just happen for me, and I kept seeing it happen for me. I was never given a coat of many colours to tell me that I was somebody special. But as soon as I met Christ, I felt like God had told me I was special. There have been circumstances in our life where we have been in very beautiful situations, and the next minute we're out. And we don't have any money, we don't have anything, and I'm sitting in a house that I'm like, what happened? How did I get here? What happened to my life that I'm sitting in this place? And I get a little bit of attitude on and go, excuse me, God, like what's... This ain't princess land. Right? Because I knew when I got born again that I was destined to be a princess. I was destined to have the best of the best. So now I'm looking at my circumstances going, why is that not... I don't understand that, but we need to talk. But the thing is that when I went, we need to talk, my attitude changed, right? And then I went off and chased what I should have been chasing in the first place, which was God, so that he could put me back in the place of favor. If you're not in a place of favor and you're sitting out there going, well, hold on a minute, what's happening in my life? I thought everything was really awesome and now my whole circumstance is devastatingly not good. Go back to the place you last had favor. Okay? Because I have this little envision. So I go walking with Jesus. And I'm walking with Jesus and I go, oh, cool. And something glistening over there. Maybe diamonds. And so I go off and I'm like, oh, oh. And Jesus is still over there going, Liz. Oh, I just get this diamond. And then I'm like, I'll walk over here. Jesus is like, baby girl, I'm doing walk with you, but I'm not moving until you come back. And now let's walk again. So, if you feel that your circumstances are not reflecting the things that you believe that God has already told you, you need to go back to where you had favor and stand in that place, because he will start walking you forwards, right? He directs us with. Trust in the Lord your God. Lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That happens. Acknowledge him. And then what happens? He will direct your path. Your path will remain straight. So how can he direct your path if you're not moving? Right? So we go, oh man, I'm just going to get back here and we'll just start praying. And he's going, yo, yo, baby girl, God, baby girl, psst. But God, I just really want to hear from you. Oh, my goodness, he's going, oh, my goodness. Remember this, You're in the kitchen, your children are little, and they come in and they're like, Mom, I want a biscuit. And you're peeling the potatoes and you're like, hold on a minute. Mom, I want a biscuit. Are we listening? Hold on a minute. And then what happens is we have to get down to their level and go, tell me what you want. And then they go, I want a biscuit. And you go, okay, why didn't you say that in the first place? Do you know what I'm saying? We all know it. We're all mums here. Don't come into the throne room kicking and screaming, because the only voice you're going to hear is yours. Amen. He is our Father. He is our parent. It is His great pleasure to give us our heart's desires. But you know what? Your heart's desires might hurt you, so get a grip on it, guys. There is a time. There is a time that has come that favor will be in your house. He never says no. He just says not yet. There is never a prayer that goes up that is not unanswered. When I pray prayers where they fall down out of the sky, that is not our good God. It is the fact that He sits up there and hears every one of them, even the silent cries. And we can rest in the fact that He says, okay, baby girl, I got you. But baby girl, you just need to wait. I was just telling the girls in the car, I've been learning this thing. Because I'm always the why. So, Mary and Martha, they go to Jesus and say, Jesus, your loved one, your beloved one, Lazarus, the one you have favor with, he is sick. You've got to come now. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, just hold on a minute. And he finishes what he's doing. And then the word says, and then he waits. Kim Walker sings a song. This is how this came about in the car, because, you know, when I start warming up to preach, you get it in the car. So Kim Walker sings a song, where you go, I will go, where you stay, I'll stay. And it talks about Jesus never did anything he didn't see his Father do. Jesus never said anything he didn't hear his Father say, right? He didn't move unless the Spirit was on him. And I've been going, God, like I read a lot of the Word in the New Testament. I'm like, Jesus waits a lot. He waits a lot. And I'm like, why are you waiting? Why is this waiting thing? Because every word in the Bible is so integral. It's so important. Why is there waiting all the time in the Bible? And I believe that the waiting is that he is waiting for his Father to go with him. Because if you remember, Jesus came as man. Not some supernatural man, because he wouldn't have been able to take the keys. He had to do everything that we are challenged at every day in this life. So he just came as man. We think of him and we do post him up to being this, oh, Jesus has got some supernatural powers and he just, a little bit like Spider-Man. But that's not true. You see, the supernatural power that he had was that he was able to wait. He was able to wait to see what his Father was telling him to do. And the reason why every time he opened his mouth, it was successful, was because he waited for his Father to speak. Amen? Okay, good. Why, as soon as I met Christ, I felt like God had favored me. Right? I'm sure everyone had that experience, but just in different ones. You know, when you met Christ and Christ came in, something just changed. I've had a girl explain to me, it was just like being able to breathe fresh air.
For me, there was just this knowledge and attitude.
But why doesn't everybody get this? You see, I'm not trying to boast. I'm saying that the favor is extended to anybody who will receive Christ. Absolutely anybody. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, ha 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 ha, Danny told me this last night, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Meaning he has made us highly favored in Christ. All you've got to do to get yourself in Christ and Jesus becomes, is to get yourself into Christ and Jesus, and that becomes your coat of many colours. Yes. So we are happily running into our Connect group, loving our people. Oh, I went on, we're not going to have any more people in my group. And the church goes, oh, you can't cap a group. I said, the facilities, the possibility of having that many people in my house could cap it for us, but okay. And once I said to them, we lost many. And it gave me, thinking about it now, it's really given me an idea that many people want to feel the miraculous with the Lord. But they don't want to do the work. Yeah. But we have got to do the work so that we know what we're believing in. I did a leadership training at Whakatane and I was praying and walking one morning and the Lord, I didn't bring it, just try and remember what he said because it was just so amazing. I just went, oh, you've got it right. We have got to give our children something to believe in or they will believe in anything. And I now see that so many of our kids, we didn't give them the right start in their Christian walk. That I lost them out of our group because I didn't teach them to be in love with the Word. And I knew that, you know, we know. You can't have the Holy Spirit without the Word. Or you can follow any feeling. Then you're off down the track and it's not even the Holy Spirit. And you can really hurt some people. So we got to learn to teach our people to love this Word. Amen? Anyway. In our Connect group, Scott is so funny. He's so shy, my Scotty. He's so shy. And then he's all bold and then he's so shy. And one of the things you hate talking about is tithe. But we have learnt it is one of the key things to freedom. So we're sitting there and we're praying. We're like, okay, so let's just pray. Let's just get in a room. Let's worship. Just see what God wants to do. Yep, so we're all there. And Scott just steps forward. I just about died. Yep, I think we're going to pray about prosperity and we're going to talk about tithe and I'm just doing... Because I hadn't heard from the Lord, right? But he had. So he says to them, and I just heard him say, you need to acknowledge your lack. I'm like, oh, Lord. And he will meet it tonight. I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is not going to go so good, but okay, Lord, I'm with you because he's heard you, so I'm with you, so I'm just going to go stand by him and I'm just going to go. So I went and stood by him. You see, we know everyone shies away from preaching the tithe message and the members shy away from acknowledging their lack in front of others. Yeah. Oh, I just about died. And Scott faithfully stood up, called for prayer in this area. He asked each person to identify themselves, their need, and then he prayed it with them. Ooh, ooh. You try and be the wife of that. Ooh, ooh. Ooh. Within 24 hours, we had 8 people stand up. Within 24 hours, God had answered each person's prayer, one by donation from a person in the family, another check from a tax company, another a bank loan was released that held up, and finally, girl's parents was about to be repossessed, and the Lord released the funds. Amen. Joseph could have said, thanks, Dad, but I'm going to go and hang it up in here and walk around in these old rags because I really don't want to upset the others. We've got gifts. And how many of us take our gift and God gets us to do something and we go, nah, I don't want to do that. People think I'm a show off. That's hanging our coat in the cupboard. We have got to learn to wear our technicolored coat of our gifts in a way that is humble, 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 like a servant to each other. But in the spirit, we have got to learn to rule like kings. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Imagine if you made something for your kid and they said, thanks, and chucked it aside. Oh, it's happened to me. It's not nice. Just because my children didn't want to wear the dresses that I wore when they were little. Now I go, what were you thinking? And they knew it at six. Anyway. Worship is getting blessed in this life. If you don't want to get blessed for your sake, sure, go ahead. But do it at least for his sake. Amen? For his glory. For the honour of God. Let's ruin all those damaging poverty mindsets that have tumbled along with religion for so long. Tried to make us puce and sanctify some of our lives that are lacking in resources and lacking in ability and lacking in all kinds of things. You see, I came from a Catholic movement. You would not have seen a woman get up and go, what I'm doing. That just would never happen. Let alone allowing the freedom of the Holy Spirit to take what needs to happen in those things. I'm not saying that that's not right, because they believe in Jesus and they believe, you know what I say? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? But what I'm saying is, I learned to restrict myself. I learned to be, oh, I don't know what the word is. Just reserved. Man, my God is awesome. He is so cool. He does things that I just go, God, I just need you right now. And I am allowed to say to him, hey, get down here. I need some help. And he comes. I wouldn't have been allowed to do that. I have got to know God in such an amazing way because he is first and foremost my Father, Abba Father. I fear him because when I do sin, for sure. But I'm mother. My children fear me. You're going to do something naughty, you'll get a smack. Right? You'll get the channel. We're not allowed to do that anymore. Thank you, Mr. Policeman. But my mother always said to me, Elizabeth, you never had to smack your children. I went, because I was quite, you know, thought I was awesome about it. I've never smacked my children. She went, you never had to. Your eyes said you're dead. I'm like, that took the holier than thou and put me right back where I needed to be. Amen. But you see, that's the father. That's the parent. To have a healthy fear of the one that is walking you and where you're to go, that is your parent, it is right. If you have no healthy fear of your parent, then you are going to become out of control. You'll have no boundaries and you will not be able to conform to the things of this world, which is what the Lord asks you to do first and foremost. Obey the law of the land. We have got to put the word success back into our lives. Success was never rated on how great you were. Success was the fact that you tried something. Failure is the fact that you never did. That's the true meaning of both of those words. It's not rated. Failure is not rated on what didn't happen. You just learned that that doesn't work. So I'm going to try the next one and the next one. Walt Disney, I think he had a lot of businesses go bankrupt before Walt Disney. He didn't stop and go, I'm not successful. He didn't stop and say, I'm a failure. He just went, okay, I got that. Don't do that one again. Like, let's go again. We have got to get success back into our lives. And the Lord was with him. And therefore he enjoyed blessing, favor over his life. I know that crinkles some of us, but let it crinkle you. Let it change your mind here this morning so you might open up a little and say, you know what? Maybe that is the very reason why blessing isn't flowing, is because I've got the handbrake on the concept. I've got some allegiance to some traditional mindset, to a religious concept, and I'm just holding back. Let it go here today. And say what you want. I'm going to get free today by the word of God right here and start seeing the word in a totally different light so that blessing and favor can come upon me. It's a decision. You can choose to live in the desert. God, through your salvation, has brought you out of Egypt. He's taken you through the sea. And you are now standing there with the manna being fed. And he's going, are you going to do the 40 years or are you going to just do a quick walk out? It wasn't even 10Ks to where they were supposed to go. And it took them 40 years. It is a decision. Okay, we're just sowing some things here. Don't be worried about what other people think. Who cares what other people think? I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't be preaching if I cared about what other people think. I don't know what the secret of happiness is, but I know the secret of misery is trying to keep everybody happy. What is favor? Favor is living in Goshen. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, Israel was given Goshen as the land they could live in. It was a beautiful land. It was the best portion of all Egypt. It was Auckland, St. Heliers, right? Mission Bay, everyone been there? Okay, so that's what it's like in Egypt. You see, every time Moses put his rod into the sky, he called down judgment on the land and it didn't hit Goshen. That's what favor is. You're blessed when nothing else is happening for others and you find blessing coming on your life. So all the way through Israel's history, they found this favor popping on them. Even when they were held down in trials, sometimes they'd eventually come up on top again. And why does favor come on our lives? Number one, because I believe it comes on our lives because of a great attitude. You see, a great attitude welcomes promotion. I preach this other word, and I love doing this thing, so we're going to do it today. So you got this employee. Actually, you're in church, Deb. And you're asking some people to do some work. Right? So, hey, do you reckon you could just go and set up the thing for after church? I really want to talk to my friends. You will not be asked again. Okay? And then you're sitting in the pews 2 years later and go, why aren't I being chosen? Well, honey, we need to go back to the consequences of your actions, which is when you get asked to do something, it's your attitude that promotes you. So you may start, and that's where Scott and I started. We actually went into church and went, we'd been brought over from one church to the head church, and they went, what do you want to do? And Scott and I went, clean toilets. And they went, what? We went, just let us clean the toilets. And we wanted to sort of feel out, scope out where we were at and stuff, and just make sure that we had not moved. The senior pastor of the whole movement had moved us from that church, but we didn't know the motivation that took us there. So we wanted to make sure that our motivation would not hurt anybody prior to going into anything. So we just decided we'd serve them. And what a cool job to do, but the toilets. That was my husband's idea. Me, I would have said, I don't know. Put me in the green room. I like being in there with all the visiting people. But you know what? It's that attitude. And what happened is that very quickly promoted us into places that we would never have even had the opportunity to go. Because if we'd fitted into a slot, here's the thing. If we had fitted into a slot, and my husband, I believe 100% he heard the Lord tell him to do that. If we had fitted into a slot that sort of fitted us, we would have been a square peg, round hole for a long time. But we went and did something because the Lord told us to do it. And what happened was is that we were promoted because that just wasn't us. But we were willing to serve, and they got to see the heart, the attitude. And then it made room for us. And what happened was they made us pastors of new Christians. And I loved it. And then we were sent to plant a church, and I cried and cried. Cried and cried and cried. Because I just love people getting saved. My husband's an evangelist, so you know there's no mistake that God puts together. So, because sometimes we have a good attitude, we don't quite know what to do. You see, a good attitude is the ability to forgive people. It's a thankful heart. It's worship. You see, it's a whole bunch of things we won't go into right now. But when you have a great attitude on you, in spite of the challenges that come against you, you'll find your favor continues to live in your life. What's our time? I'm used to having, hey, ding, ding. Oh, I'm finishing. I'm going to have to wrap that up. So let's just... I think people have to go and put money in their cars, you know, get some sustenance. It's all right, I'm going next session, so there'll be no problems. But, okay, I just need to pray because I just need to bring it in. Favor is knowing that God has given you a gift. Favor is knowing how to stand on the gift. Activation then allows favor to move. When you are called to water the garden of the Lord, you are going to need to understand favor. Because there are situations, mighty situations, there are mountains that will be moved because of the favour that sits on your life. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. We don't see mountains move because we don't believe in the things that the Lord has told us. We go, hey, God, yeah, I know you told me that, but I'm just putting it up on the shelf over here and I just need you to confirm that to me three times, one in the Bible, one from somebody else. And can you have a visiting pastor come in and just tell us that and then I'll be good and I'll pick it back up and I'll go. But that ain't faith. That is not faith. Faith is activated by actions. You see, and when he wants you to be in these situations, transgressions are going to happen. It's going to happen in your house, sister. It's going to happen in your school. It's going to happen in the workplace. It's going to happen at the library.
Supermarket as well.
Amen. Don't have your bananas up that way. It means you're single. Anyway. Thank you, Lord. Oh, which way? Who's asking that? You are. We're called to water a garden. We're called to understand that God is with us. He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. It's not a question. It's a statement. He's going to put you in dying rosebush places. He's going to put you in the thorns and he's going to plant you in. And he's going to call you to water it. And we all know about the Holy Spirit. Like he says, you all know about the Holy Spirit. You've all got a tangible touch of how to activate that in your life. But you've got to learn what favor is and how it works over your life. Because if you choose to step out from it, it's going to stay there. It's going to stay here. And you're going to depart from it. The moment you step back into it, it's going to start moving again. You cannot be planted in thorn bushes and not be sitting under favor. Because it is the absolute confidence that God is going to be with you. That is what favor does. It gives you this absolute confidence. When you go to missions and you're calling people up, there is an absolute confidence that resonates in your belly. Favor. It's not about, oh, I've got favor, man. I got lots of money. That's not what favor is all about. And favor is never about benefiting you. Favor is all about benefiting the ones that are around you. You see, because someone held favor and brought you in. Amen? All right. Let's just pray. Let's stand and pray. Ooh. Beth? I just want to tell you that when you open your mouth and let the voice that's not here